Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and this is episode 123, or 123, as we just called it. And it's very exciting to be here again. We have a wonderful source from Justin today, which feels very wonderful to be talking about. So thank you, Justin, for choosing this, and thank you for twisting around your diary so that you could be with us. I know that you're teaching today and have a full-on job on your hands. So it's lovely to be here, and I'm grateful to see you in the middle of something that I wouldn't normally see you in the middle of, because I'm at home with Vesper and you're in the midst of it. It's very sweet.
I am, Lizzie, still checking out our technology here, because it's very hard for me to tell if we're actually streaming live or not.
I got a notification on my thing saying you are now live on Facebook.
Yes, so we are. I think we may well be. Oh, we are. Yes. Excellent.
Okay.
So I'm sorry for the shenanigans here. I have just tuned into our Facebook live stream, which of course runs about 30 seconds behind us anyway. And there we are. There you are, saying hello to everybody this morning. So that means that we are here. And it's really wonderful to be here. And I'm sitting looking out at a gale blowing outside us here in London. The trees are bending in the wind and the wind is raging around us. And it's also the Sunday morning of, as of course you'll know, Lizzie, our professional coaching course. So we're 3/4 of the way through the year. And I'm coming into this morning having had the most beautiful and moving day yesterday, because on the Saturday of the middle of this session of the course, we bring in guest clients who maybe have never had a coach before and certainly don't know any of our student coaches, and they get coached for the day. And my goodness, Lizzie, it was the most beautiful day to hear what people said at the end of the day about what had become possible for them, because they came into the orbit of some very kind and very wise people who are practicing bringing themselves to the world. So I'm in the venue and I'm deeply moved by it, and I'm here filled with the filled this morning, you know, with a really strong sense of hopefulness about what humans can be for one another and how we can love one another in ways that are not, that are deep and true. Not because this is what people were saying yesterday, was that what it was like to be with our student coaches was, of course, very delightful, but not just lovely. It was also true and real, and they got to talk about things that really matter that we don't often get to talk about. Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, is exactly what we're doing here. You and I is doing that, being up to that together. So such a great place for me to be sitting here at this slightly unusual time, getting on with our call, sort of in the atmosphere that's been created by all of that. So, Lizzie, you and I got talking last week after our call about whether we could find a way of talking about the ridiculousness of being a human and celebrating it and enjoying it. And I remembered this poem and I thought that it pointed some of the way into this, and it would be a wonderful launching place for our conversation. So our source this morning is a poem called Advice, and it's by Bill Holm, and I'm going to read it. Advice. Someone dancing inside us has learned only a few steps. The do your work in 4/4 time, the what do you expect waltz. He hasn't noticed yet the woman standing away from the lamp, the one with black eyes, who knows the rumba and strange steps in jumpy rhythms from the mountains of Bulgaria. If they dance together, something unexpected will happen. If they don't, the next world will be a lot like this one.
Advice by Bill Holm. Someone dancing inside us has learned only a few steps. the do your work in 4/4 time, the what do you expect waltz. He hasn't noticed yet the woman standing away from the lamp, the one with black eyes who knows the rumba and strange steps and jumpy rhythms from the mountains of Bulgaria. If they dance together, something unexpected will happen. If they don't, the next world will be a lot like this one.
Now you're back. Because you're on your phone, your picture disappeared and we couldn't see your wonderful face reading this poem. I'm just feeling unreasonably joyful reading these words. One of the things that has really struck me, this happened in the way that these things do, Lizzie, whilst I was brushing my teeth this morning, I was thinking about this poem. And I've been thinking a lot about how seriously I've taken myself and how seriously I've taken life for most of my life. It seems to me that the identity that got me along in all kinds of ways, that resolved all kinds of difficulties, that maybe had people relate to me in the ways that I wanted them to, that had me feel undisturbed as well as much as I could, was to get along with particularly the do your work in 4/4 time, which is get on with it, get down to it, but don't really surprise anyone. Don't really be really super reliable, be a way that people could predict. And I think I a lot of wonderful things happened for me that way. It's not that it was a terrible way to be, but more and more recently I've started to see what a cost it also comes at, and particularly the part about be reliable, be predictable, don't surprise. So it comes anyway, it comes for me with a certain kind of seriousness, like I don't necessarily mean an outer seriousness. What I mean is taking myself very seriously. My feelings are very serious. My thoughts are very serious. I'll read serious books. Anyway, more recently, I've started to see much more how funny it is to be me. And I don't just mean me like I'm uniquely funny. I mean to be a person is actually completely bonkers. We are strangely shaped, fleshy, wobbly things. We're prone to all kinds of confusions and mishaps. I trip over a lot of things and knock things off and break stuff. And yeah, it's really cool. And we all do in our way. And there's so much to be said. I mean, I know, I'll just talk about me for the moment, but there's so much to be said for knowing the woman with the black eyes who knows the rumba and strange steps and jumpy rhythms and marrying her with, having her dance with, and that's what I love about this poem, having her dance with the other part. It's not that the do your work in 4/4 time doesn't have its place. Of course it does. Sometimes that's exactly what it's called for. But whenever we sort of let ourselves be dominated by one pole rather than the other, and this pole for me, the strange steps and jumpy rhythms from the mountains of Bulgaria is really feeling joyful and enticing. And last thing to say about it is, for now, is what I'm noticing is that as I do the work of, and there is a kind of bit of work in it, of loosening up, of lightening up, of not taking myself seriously, I love other people way more, because they're quirks and strangenesses and awkwardnesses and the ways that they are unpredictable don't appear as an affront so much. They're not a threat to my own predictability. We can all dance the strange steps in jumpy rhythms alongside one another, which really is what we've been doing all along. I just think I've been doing a lot of pretending that wasn't the case.
I'm feeling really joyful, Justin, because I have some thoughts about this poem and what it means and everything, but I hadn't thought of before you were talking, I hadn't thought of the possibility that maybe maybe in my habitualness, I'm the Bulgarian one with the and you're the one with the reliability. And then and in a way, it's a way of us talking about what makes this possible, which it feels like there's somehow in our journeys we've become open to otherness, and there is a contrast between you and I. And what I read from this poem is that there is a big creative tension that it's pointing to, which is that when things are different from one another, to embrace the difference, depending on which part of the difference you are, to embrace the thing that's different to you is to find creativity, is to find relationship, is to find lots of things that you wouldn't otherwise find if you carried on just doing a dance that you knew. So if I just carry on being the wild Bulgarian woman doing the rumba, I know that that has been my journey too. Like I used to have a criteria that if somebody wasn't amusing, I didn't really want to spend time with them. So imagine the kind of life that I got, that got made for me was one that was just about having fun, which is cool in one way, but it's like a slither of life. It's not all of life. It's not meaningful conversations. It's not deep inquiry. It's not commitment. It's not reliability. It's not consistency. You know, lots of things it isn't. And I feel like reading this poem paints a picture of a kind of openness that's really required as a human, which is to be open to what I am not, but to allow what I'm not to become what I am, so that my life is a full life. And I feel like it's always a mantra that I have in my mind is like, you know, I didn't come here for a half life, I came here for a full life. So what does a full life look like? A full life looks like a full spectrum, so that when I'm in relationship with different people, I get to open into who they are and live that through my life too, rather than just my preferences and the things I want and the things that I, in my smaller, frightened self, think that this is how I keep things under control and I keep things safe or something. But to relax into who other people are and how they are, and see if they can be allowed to give me the gifts they're trying to give me by being the way that they are, and seeing the world and people in it as for me rather than against me or different to me or separate from me. So how do I live that people can give me their gifts rather than reject loads of things in service of me having things the way I think that they should be, in the from the smallest part of my opinion making about what life should be. And so I love this invitation of this poem to look at the nature of what we do together too, and how, you know, on the surface of things or in the habitualness of things, people might have preconceived ideas about who we are and what we're like, and the fact that you're a very technically minded, very intelligent, computery kind of person who's read like every single book, and I'm a kind of slightly wild, bit bonkers, I have lots of books but have like read half of all of them kind of thing. And between us there is a space that's different to either your space or my space, but that gifts us both the opportunity to be in conversation like this. And I think that's the lovely thing that's arising for me, is we were wondering about how to talk about our relationship and what the nature of it is, so that this is all possible. And actually, I think this poem's such a beautiful way into that. And it really, really invites me to keep considering the nature of what creative relationship requires, which is this, well, this is something different to me, and I'm open to it, and let's see what's in the space between us and wonder what's possible from there.
One of the things that I'm really enjoying as you're talking, Lizzie, is seeing how this poem by Bill Holm talks simultaneously about what's inside us and what's between us. Because you said something like you were somewhere along the way learning to to be more what you're not, used a phrase like that. And I thought, yeah, that's true. But it's also true that what we all learn to be, if we're open to one another, and if we're prepared to take up this orientation of the world being for us rather than against us, which is such a great way of talking, and it's a whole shift in orientation, is that we find out that there is in us and of us already something like the other in others. So when you know, completely rightly characterize our sort of the different characters that show up between us when we're doing this, I can also feel how there is a wild one of me. Of course there's a wild one of me. And if when I'm with you and I learn to recognize the you-ness that is already part of me, that is already true of me, instead of pushing that away and pushing you away, my relationship with you and my conversation with you awakens something in me that's already here, that may be unattended to, maybe exiled, maybe I've been ashamed of, maybe I've tried to keep under wraps, but I recognize you in myself. And of course it's not you in every way. We have had different histories and different lives and different bodies and different families and all of that. But it's nevertheless true. So I think as we stop trying to control how we are and stop trying to control how other people are and turn ourselves towards the life is for us, all of us, orientation that you named, we can have what's here already, the dancing of the one with black eyes who knows the rumba and strange steps and jumpy rhythms, dancing together with the do your work in 4/4 time inside at the same time as we're engaging with that outside, because I'm not really sure that inside and outside are that different to one another. And whilst you were talking, I was remembering something I learned once from Jamie Catto, whose work I love, and who's someone whose writing and work in the world really inhabits the playful side of things, saying, whenever you find yourself wanting to push someone else away, or that you're irritated by them, or you want to control them and stop them doing something, it's really, really helpful. Of course, there are times we want to stop people doing stuff, particularly if they're harming us. But I don't mean that. When that happens, it's such a liberating move to say, you know, if I say, oh, Lizzie, she's so scatty, which is not actually something I'd ever say about you. I'm just giving it, just like me. The thing to say is, just like me, when we find ourselves in judgment of someone else. And then we make contact with the part of ourselves that really is just like that, that we've mostly been trying to deny. And at first, it's a really difficult thing to do, because what we first get in contact with is all of the shame we have, and all of the ways, the judgments that we have, and all the ways that we wish we weren't like that. And so where that leads me to is wanting to say something about, not just about our relationship, but also what happens as we do these calls, because as we do Turning Towards Life, because I can see that there is a way I could be, which goes, and I really know I can be this way, and I'm up against it a lot, particularly whilst we're teaching, actually, whilst we're running a course and there's multiple of us teaching, I can feel the part of me that goes, well, of course, I have a way of doing something like this. I have a familiar way. It's not the only way. I've got a familiar way of being in this conversation. And every time you and your otherness, which is not really other, every time you and your otherness are a way that doesn't fit into my scheme, the really easy thing to do is to try and control you, either explicitly or implicitly, to make moves to stop you speaking in a particular way, or to have you say the thing that I wish you would say so that I can say the thing that I want to say, or whatever, all of that stuff that goes on. And the practice of releasing ourselves into a conversation like this, where we have no plan apart from a source, our relationship, and a time boundary, and then a whole load of people who listen and watch us to sort of keep us true in it. That is a practice in welcoming otherness. And particularly for me, welcoming the otherness in me by letting go, by relaxing, by going, whatever Lizzie says that will be different is beautiful and brilliant and necessary and for us. Instead of, for example, one of the moves that I can immediately feel I could do, which I have to watch out for, is either the wanting to control you part that I said, but also, or just comparing myself, like when you say things about yourself and I go, well, I'm not like that, I should be. Even that move is another distancing move. So I think that what we're doing is we're practicing the practice of welcome, of mutual welcome, of otherness, and seeing the this line near the end. If they dance together, something unexpected will happen, and if they don't, the next world's going to be a lot like this one.
Yeah, and also I love that line as well, because it kind of points to a kind of hopefulness that gets born in me, that because we're relating to each other, the world is shifting. Like, there's a kind of naturally that I think happens, but I think we can consciously relate so that we are shifting the world. And this kind of powerlessness that I often feel seems to subside when I really reflect on and contemplate just how much relating is going on and how that is changing me. I'm letting life change me, like we were talking about last week, like letting myself be changed by Vespa being born, and letting myself be changed when somebody has died, like letting it have its way with me. And it feels like to have that opportunity and to consciously allow leads me into a realm of hopefulness, because it does mean that evolution is happening, some kind of change in however we are conscious and aware of ourselves now and aware of the world and what life is. And of course, we make up such a big part of what life is, us humans, and that we are relating and that we are allowing the creative tension to do its work by being in relationship. I feel like, oh, okay, so there's hope. We're less in a kind of disgusting fog of terribleness when I read the news. That feeling comes over me. And then I realize, no, hold on a second. There's a way that we can do our work and we can open to one another and we can be with one another that shifts the world around. That's not just staying entrenched in our own positions and arguing with people all the time. And everyone just frankly playing like opinion tennis in the world. But there's a different way that we're practicing, that we're doing, that allows us to be part of something evolving, part of something shaking itself into different newness, because we're allowing each other's personalities, each other's preferences, whatever, to affect us. And that something is different because of that. I'm different because I know you. I'm different because I speak to you and understand you and relate to you, and I'm allowing myself to be changed by who you are in my life. Like, to come at life like that feels much more hopeful than to take you for granted or ignore you or push you away or all of the things that I also could do.
It's really beautiful to hear you say that, Lizzie, for me. And it's, you're seeding a thought in me, which is a really joyful one, actually, which is to see that so much of what can change. And this is what you said. So I'm just really taking Lizzie's words and making them, saying them in a way that I can see if I can feel, which is that changing things isn't down to us as separate individuals. In fact, it's when we take on the project of trying to change the world as a separate something, which usually means making the world in our own image, that we are in trouble. First of all, because it's not possible. And second of all, because, as Bill Holmes says, it pretty much ends up with the next world being a lot like this one. Because that's the work of trying to make you a particular way. Like, have you fit into my scheme? Have you fit into be a bit player in my familiar narrative of who I am and who other people are? Or have you fit my preferences, or try to fix you, whatever that means, so that you'll be a piece that slots in. That project a lot of us are up to a lot of the time, quite understandably, I think, because it sort of feels so, in a way, intuitively obvious, unless we really slow down and soften and open ourselves, that I am this separate something, and who knows if anybody else is real anyway. I might as well just get on with the project of sort of a kind of world domination. And what you said was, I think, was, no, what's hopeful is this mysterious and wonderful and unpredictable and deeply, deeply alive something that happens when we'll let ourselves be in relationship with one another. And most importantly, what you said was, when we will let ourselves be changed by one another. And it seemed to me that a big part of our conversation has been that one of the ways that we can let ourselves be changed by one another is we can let our encounter with other people have us engage, and our welcome to other people have us engage also in the arts of welcome of what's already here of us. So as I welcome you and stop trying to smush you into a different shape or demand that you're more like me or compare myself to you or, you know, any of those things that fall into the first story, and instead trust that something will arise creatively, unpredictably, unknowably, from learning to relax and welcome, that we all get to welcome our human capacities and qualities home. That's how they get to come home. And of course, that's where creativity is. And that's also where our capacity to take care of one another is. They're the same thing. And we can give up the project of fixing everyone and everything as if there was something wrong. Because mostly when we think there's something wrong, I think it's because we're only seeing part of the story. I'm only seeing that of you, which doesn't fit my story about how you should be and what I'm prepared to welcome and accept. And I'm aware that as I'm talking, that it might sound like that means just accepting everything that other people do, and that it's, but it isn't, because as I welcome you in your fullness, if we're in some kind of difficulty, like you're treating me in a way that's hurtful to me, I can talk to you about it, because I'm welcoming that of you that is not what you're currently up to. So I really want to distinguish this, because I think sometimes when we talk this way, it can superficially sound like it's a sort of anything goes. Oh, you just mean anything goes. You mean if you want to hit me, you can hit me. You'll welcome it. No. But I will welcome, if I can welcome that of you which also loves and that of you which also takes care. And I don't mean you, of course, Lizzie, when I'm saying this, you know that. But so it's much more sophisticated and subtle than that when we start to see what it really is to welcome one another's humanity in this way. And it's also, frankly, it's also hilarious, because what we get into contact with, at least I'm getting onto the hilariousness of it, because what I get into contact with is how bonkers and bizarre we are, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, and I am that too. You know, that's what I learned too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know we've got to that time where we have to finish. I have to go off and teach a class, and you have to go off and do whatever you're doing, and presumably everybody who's been watching and listening in all the different ways that you do has to go too. And I want to end, for my part, Lizzie, by thanking you, as always, for doing this. What a joy. But I also want to thank a ton of people came our way this week. A ton of people joined us in our Facebook group. A ton of people started listening. However you all found your way to us, we are really, really glad you're here. And we will so look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thank you so much, everybody, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Bye.